Correct.
The million dollar question is, do you need me to try and get our appraiser on the phone?
Well, I mean, it's your case to present evidence, and I didn't know if you were planning on that as part of your of what you were going to talk about today. I mean, we could certainly call back at the. Okay.
It was one of these situations where I didn't even get the notice of the hearing until July 3rd. I know it was sent out. It was postmarked June 28th, I think. I got it the night of July 3rd.
Okay. Is it something that you are you asking us to table it to another day, or are you asking us what would you like to do? I mean, well, we're calling early because we've gotten through some other cases, so we're just trying to figure out if we could take this up now.
Well, I understand, but it's just it's more of a question of if you've looked at the appraisal itself and you have any specific questions for my appraiser, I can see if I can get him on the phone now. But if you look at it and go, okay, well, you followed Rushmore and everything like that, we don't really have a lot of questions there, then it doesn't really make sense for me to get him on the horn or to try and get him on the horn. If you follow me. You know what I'm saying?
The other board members, would you like to ask other questions?
At this point, we're tending to disagree with the appraisal that was submitted by them.
Correct. All right. Well, I think it might benefit you to have him available in case we do have questions. So do you want to try to do that at 2:45, or do you want to try to do it at – we do have some other times in the month where we could do that if you wanted to.
Terrible in general here. Let me see if I can get him on the horn here, or let me ask my assistant and give me 2 seconds here.
Because obviously we have quite a wide discrepancy here in the evaluations.
Do you have a copy of his appraisal?
Yes, mm-hmm. In the file.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got. They both just looked through.
Okay.
Well, so she's gonna try and call real quick. My question for you is, other than the value that you disagree with, is there something wrong with the methodology, or?
Oh, I don't know that we. Just to give you an idea, we of course are a citizen board, BOE. I'm a lawyer. We also have a real estate agent and a banker on the board. So we've gone through this and looked at it. There's quite the discrepancy. I think they do have some questions about the methodology that has been used here for the Rushmore method, but I don't know personally. I don't know a lot about it, but I know that these guys have more questions.
Okay. Let me see if I can get him on the phone. If we can't get him on the phone, what are the backup dates here?
Or we could do it at 2:45 when you're scheduled. But we just were trying to see if you were available early.
I personally am, and obviously there's, some of the stuff I can fill in. And to be honest with you, I know that Mr. I think it's Trimble.
Yes.
I don't know if he's there or not. Oh, he is. Okay. We actually do have Keith McFarland available if you need it. So I guess we're good to go then. So it's kind of a moot point in terms of doing it later, I think.
All right. So do you want to go ahead as far as what you want to present, or do you just want the questions directed at him as the appraiser?
He's on the speaker. Okay. Why don't we start with what questions you have for him, whatever questions the board has for him about his method and what was done there, and then I'll kind of present afterward, but that way I don't have to keep on the phone any longer than he needs to be.
I understand.
If that makes sense.
Sure. Mr. Baker, Greg Baker, is here.
Hold on a second. Let me pitch in here. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I've got the Board of Equalization for Taney County here on the phone. I think they have a couple of questions for you. Obviously, I told them I was going to present, you know, my stuff afterwards, but I was going to let them go ahead and ask whatever kind of questions they may have on the appraisal. So that's okay.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah. So, I mean,
okay,
just...
hold on a second. As far as questions.
Okay. Yeah, he can try and answer any questions you might have here.
Okay, so no.
Okay, let me put you on speaker here a second. Okay. So he can hear you, you can hear him.
Okay.
I probably spent about 5 minutes looking through the appraisal, but normally when we look at an appraisal, we look at the income, the market, and the cost approach. And then, you know, as far as market, you know, we look for similar comps of properties in the area. I didn't see any of those in there. The cost approach, I don't believe there was anything in there on the cost approach. It was more income related, and it looked like the base year was a 2020, which was probably the worst year for all lodging properties. So. I don't know. Could you help us? Did you do all three approaches?
The state tax commissioner predicates using the Rushmore method. Again, as far as the cost approach, you got to look at the age condition of the improvements. Obviously, this is an older facility. The cost approach is not applicable in that sense. As far as the sales, all your sales include that going concern component, which you can't extrapolate, the FF&E, which you can't extrapolate out accurately on your sales. Therefore, the sales comparison approach is not considered to be applicable.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. I don't know if we agree with it, but, you know.
All right. Before we go too far down the rabbit hole either, I can tell you what he's saying jives with what the SEC has unanimously and consistently ruled, which is if you're going to value hotels, they don't have preferred methods for a lot of different property types. But for hotels, they do, and they say use Rushmore. So that's why that's primarily why he relied on Rushmore, is because that's what the state says to do, and that's generally the most accurate one. So I understand where you're coming from, that you're saying, well, we don't think there's a cost method. Well, the cost method, you know, again, we're talking about what the state says, and what the state says is the cost method for an older building is the least reliable method to use. So I'm just trying to kind of tell you where the state's coming from and stuff.
So the income method, was it based on what was the base year for the income?
Well, I'm trying to recall from memory here, guys. I think I looked at 3 years of historical income and expenses for both the hotel and the theater, and that was my basis.
Okay. Okay, and that could be part of it. The theater, you know, it could be more losses there than a hotel, but I don't know. We'll ask our assessor what her opinion is.
Well, the county had hired a professional appraiser.
I can tell you what they told me down there during my inspection. It's kind of reflected as far as the revenues. And I tried to be optimistic as far as theater revenues, but they said it's changed down there. I guess there used to be both the demographics of people that went to theaters as far as tourism has caused a decline for the theaters. It's still operating, but as far as the costs are built in with the hotel. It's operated as one economic unit, so you can't really separate. Obviously, it's on the same parcel. It can't be separated out again. It would be trying to separate the restaurant facility from the hotel. All that operates as one economic unit.
Okay. And have you seen the other appraisal by Mr. Trimble?
I got a copy of it, just glanced through it. I haven't really looked at it much, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Well, I can kind of speak to Mr. Trimble's appraisal. I've not done a deep dive on it because we do have an SEC hearing coming up on it, but there are a number of pointed questions and pretty fair questions to ask about that appraisal because there are some pretty big lingering question marks, especially with how he valued the theater portion of that property.
Okay, and what are those questions, I guess, is what we're trying to figure out why there's such a disparity.
Okay, well, I can tell you what he did on the theater was he did an income method for the hotel, and then he tried to do a sales comp approach on the theater. So he's got a couple of comps here. Well, there's issues with at least two of the comps, and also I don't know how he's doing a sales comp on the theater. I don't know what land he's also including on the theater. But you got to include, most of these theater properties are on 8-10 acres, or, they're good chunks of land. This whole development sits on like 30 acres. So that's kind of an issue there, which is not pricing the fact that, any of the parking lot, any of the improvements and stuff like that, he's just treating the theater separately. He's trying to treat the theater separately. So to the extent he's doing that, he needs to account for the land, I would say. The land and parking. How are you going to park at a theater when there's no, when there's no land included in this sales comp approach? Now, the other problem with the sales comp is at least two of the comps you use aren't really valid comps, in my opinion, because they aren't a typical buyer. And I haven't done a deep dive on all five of these comps, but I can tell you they won the Music City Center, which I think was comp 4 or 5, was bought by a church. Well, the problem with doing that is a church is going to be tax exempt. So he's not accounting for the fact that property is worth a lot more as a church as anything else, and you don't have to pay taxes on it. So he's not making any sort of adjustment for the fact that the church bought it, who's not a typical buyer. But, that makes a huge difference if you're talking about a 2-3% jump in a cap rate on a sales comp approach. The value is hugely different. I thought it was that Music City Center one, I think it was only purchased for like $1 million anyway. And somehow or another, he's made adjustments all the way up to $2 million on the theater. So that is an issue with that one. The other one is one of the theaters, I think it was a White House theater, was bought by the city of Branson, actually. So the city of Branson, you have the same issue. It's not a typical buyer, and they're tax exempt. And that there's no adjustment made for tax exempt status of the buyer. So if you've got an issue with that one too, then that's two of the five. Again, I haven't done a dive on it, but when he's using five comps here and two of them have serious problems, just on a brief glance, that's an issue in my opinion.
What did the assessor, did you value it differently or all as one? The hotel and the theater.
When we do our camp the system,
can you hear the assessor? We're going to let the.
Keith, and I don't know who that was on the other side. He was actually asking that for the assessor.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all right. We're if it's all right with you guys, we're going to go ahead and let the assessor state her position on this and make. Make sure to tell me that you can hear if you can't hear for some reason.
I'll come closer to the. Is that okay?
I think they can hear you through the microphone, but you're welcome to come up here if you want to.
Yeah, I can just stand here so you can hear. Okay, so on our CAMA system, we price each parcel. We just go to each building and do the cost approach. We also price land. And so my question to you is on yours for the 6.000, the one that ends in 6.000 with the 23 acres, how much are you allotting for the value of the land?
Again, I'm looking at it from the income approach standpoint. As far as an allocation, I didn't separately value the land because obviously I didn't do a cost approach on it. So, as far as an allocation on that, I did look at what you had, the assessed value of land again, but it really had no impact.